أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are on day 6 إن شاء الله. For those of you, some of you are on day 7. We're doing جزء 6 in the Quran, سورة المائدة, the table. And it is ayah number 26. Page 112 of the standard Ottoman script Quran. Surah Al-Ma'idah is the fifth surah in the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قال فإنها محرمة عليهم 40 سنة يتيهون في الأرض فلا تأس على القوم الفاسقين. He, Allah, said, so it shall surely be forbidden to them for 40 years. They shall wander about in the land. Therefore, do not grieve for the nation of transgressors. This ayah is part of a series of ayat that talk about Bani Israel. And it talks about the particular period where Pharaoh has been defeated, a number of events have happened, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the order to Bani Israel, to the children of Israel, to go into the Holy Land. Now, these stories are narrated for a purpose, obviously. There's nothing in the Quran that doesn't have a practical relevance and a purpose that is applicable to our lives. And I've chosen this ayah because it talks about the consequence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on the children of Israel in terms of their reply to Moses when the order was given to them to enter the Holy Land. The sequence of ayat start in ayah 20 of the same surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 20, and this is when Moses reminds the children of Israel that they have been given a number of bounties, and mentioning three of them. The first one is that they have among them prophets and people who are of great leaders, and it is narrated that during the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, there were around 70 other prophets providing guidance to the people of Israel. Now, obviously, this blessing of having prophets among you is one of the highest kinds of blessing, because it provides direct spiritual guidance and sort of a rope to hold on to avoid things that, you know, are held in superstition and ignorance, and they're guided into a positive relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance with the requirements that are established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the first blessing that Moses reminds them of. The second blessing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them ownership of themselves, because during the time of the Pharaoh and before Moses liberated them, the Banu Israel were made into slaves. They were oppressed, and they were, you know, really demoralized. They did not have any ownership of their own destiny. So Moses alayhi salam came, defeated the Pharaoh, and they were freed from the shackles of slavery of Pharaoh's rule. The third blessing or bounty that is mentioned by Moses and reminding them of Allah's blessing on them is that they have been given what nobody else has been given in the world. You know, miracles that they've had, like the splitting of the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers their request for things like having special foods like the al-man wa salwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Jews immense bounties beyond what he's given other people in terms of prophethoods, in terms of freedoms, as well as miracles and just physical blessings that others have not received. After he reminds them of all these blessings, the order comes. Moses tells them to go and enter the Holy Land. This is the Holy Land that has been ordained to be for them, and there was a warning by Prophet Moses that they should not turn their back to that order by Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Otherwise, they will be of the losers. The answer of the Jews to Musa alayhi salam was that there are people that were jabbarin meaning powerful, and some stories about this relate to people who were giants in the Holy Land, who were very strong and physically quite capable. So they, Bani Israel, were talking to Prophet Moses about these people and telling him that these jabbarin exist in the Holy Land, and we shall not, until these giants leave, and then we will enter it. So basically, they were not ready to follow that order. They had put a condition that we will only enter the Holy Land if these giants leave, these strong people leave. We're not ready to face them. Among the Bani Israel, there were two men. We don't know exactly who they were, but we know that they were righteous people, and there are narrations that they were of the 12 apostles that were with Musa alayhi salam. They said they were sort of trying to convince Bani Israel to follow the orders of Musa alayhi salam. They were these two people were described in the Quran to be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in itself embodies the idea that you are not afraid of anything else. If the only fear you have is fearing not being able to live up to the expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of you, if that's the only fear you have, then you will not be afraid to face anything. So these were people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they're among the people that have been blessed with taqwa and faith, and in return they gain the characteristics of bravery. They advise Bani Israel to enter from the door of the city, and they advise that if you enter from the door of the city, then you are victorious. Do tawakkul on Allah. Wa ala Allah fatawakkalu. Do tawakkul on Allah if you were believers. So these two righteous people knew that whatever Moses was saying was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that if Allah gives the order to do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the wisdom to show them the way and to support them in this mission to enter the Holy Land. And hence, trust in Allah means that victory is attainable. And this was the advice: don't be worried, don't be afraid, submit to Allah, you will inshallah be victorious. The answer of the Banu Israel is such a typical answer that many of us have in our head when we face a challenge, when we are afraid to face that challenge. They say to Musa, "We will not enter it at all, ever. لن ندخلها أبدا ما داموا فيها. We will not ever enter it as long as these people are living in the Holy Land. So you," meaning Moses, "you and your Lord go, both of you, fight them. We shall remain here." We shall remain here. We are not going. You think you're going to be victorious? Go, you and your God, go fight them. They just couldn't see it. They could not see or imagine or hope for any victory. The fear was so real in their heart and their mind that it was just absolutely a waste of time to try and convince them. This is a consequence of the many years that Benu Israel lived under the rule of Pharaoh. They were deprived of their dignity. They were oppressed and suppressed. They had no confidence, self-motivation. And so when they were freed of Pharaoh through miracles and through the support of Moses, then they just wanted to hang on to that freedom. They were not ready to give it up, and they were not ready to do the hard work. They were asking for a miracle. They wanted these giants to disappear through somehow supernatural means. You know, they were saying, you know, if you get rid of them, we will do it. And they were not ready to face you know, the resistance and fight for what they need to get. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this point does a wonderful thing as an educator. He, you know, ordains a punishment or a consequence, really, of for what they have done. And this is the ayah that we are studying right now. قَالَ فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. This holy land shall be forbidden to them. أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. For 40 years they will be lost in this land. It's a desert land. And, you know, this desert land is actually referred to as tea, which is an adjective or a noun that stems from the root word of loss in Arabic, or being lost. So they were lost for 40 years in this desert. Can you imagine living in a desert with no way of getting out? The harsh environment, difficulty in finding food, difficulty in finding shelter, being exposed to attacks from other sort of tribes and communities, you know, difficulty in finding water, harsh weather conditions, difficult environment. And this continued on and on and on. And on the face of it, you'd think, you know, this is really harsh. This is going to the point where, you know, they're just going to walk away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us better than we know ourselves. This experience of being exposed to the challenge of survival, they were required to learn how to defend for themselves, how to fend for themselves, how to, get food for themselves, how to survive, how to protect their families, how to build a community from nothing. So at that point, there was an obligation on them to look around and look at their skills and what they can do, rather than look to Prophet Musa alayhi salam for quick solutions. Just like a child, you know, growing up to be a teenager, growing up to be a young adult. And, you know, at that point, you know, or as they grow up, you give them more responsibilities and more freedoms, and they can't constantly look upon you to solve their problems. They need to do it themselves. They need to fall down and learn how to walk. They need to fall down and learn that these mistakes, you know, they shouldn't be doing them, and what should they do when they make those mistakes, how to deal with other people, social cues, you know, working hard to achieve an outcome. All these lessons that are given to the child so that they grow up to be balanced and strong and resilient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching the children of Israel how to fight for what they want. And it took 40 years, you know, so that the next generation was able to do what the previous generation failed to do. They became motivated, they became strong, they were fighters, and they were ready to go and fight for that holy land. And in that ayah itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforts Musa alayhi salam by saying, فَلَا تَأْسَ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Do not, you know, feel sorry for the people who are transgressors. Don't grieve for Bani Israel, for what they've they will be going through. And don't feel sorry for those who have transgressed or that who have come or veered away from the straight path. And you know, we've spoken about fasiqeen previously, and the word fasaqa meaning when the seed is exposed and comes out of the date fruit. And the same thing with Bani Israel, they veered away from where they were supposed to be. They got out of the straight path because they did not follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took control of the situation and provided this lesson. So many times in our lives, we're given these lessons by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't see them though as learning opportunities and growth opportunities. You know, we often ask, why is this happening? You know, I don't deserve this. I really, you know, I don't see why I should be going through this. And we lose sight of the important lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are giving us and the important opportunities. You know, it takes bravery and confidence to take risks in life, to jump out of what is expected, and you know, the roller coaster of life, of you know, doing everything according to expectations rather than according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects of us. We walk away from opportunities, you know, a lot of times, you know, when there is an opportunity for a promotion or a new job or a change of career or a marriage or travel or, you know, volunteering for an organization to create something, you know, in the community, develop a new skill, be part of a think tank for improving the community, make a speech. And even when the opportunities are presented in a negative way, like when we lose our job, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nudging us to find other opportunities, when we lose a business, or when we fail an exam, when we have an accident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws at us these incidents so that we are woken up to the realities, and we're woken up to opportunities, and we're woken up to our responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately in our head, you know, the thought kicks in, I don't want to do this, because we are required to move away from our comfort zone. We are required to leave where we are comfortable at and move towards doing something completely out of our comfort. And of course, this fear is disabling. This anxiety stops us from arriving where we're supposed to be, from taking on these opportunities or these losses and turning them into learning opportunities to be better people, to grow. We can't grow unless we come out of our comfort zone. Think about opportunities around you, incidents that have happened, a loss or a trap that you feel you're stuck in. What is this teaching you? What is it teaching me? How do I deal with the situation? What are the skills that I have? How am I developing those skills? And am I living up to that responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on me? The skill, the talent, the abilities. Am I seeking something that actually is not going to give me that? And instead, I'm turning a blind eye to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to all the doors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up for me. You know, Bani Israel had this door opened up for them in terms of going into the Holy Land, to enter it, you know, in a place filled with bounty and ease. It was a rich land, everything was ready for them, and yet they walked away from that because they were too afraid to do it. They didn't want to jump. If your mind tells you that this could be good, but that I am too scared, I can't do it, then it's worthwhile reconsidering that thought. It's worthwhile to reconsider how strong is our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of our dependence on Him rather than our dependence on ourselves. Because a lot of times we think it's all up to us. Okay, there is this giant thing out there that we're afraid of, just like Bani Israel. You know, actually, Bani Israel were afraid of an imaginary thing. They were all fables. These people weren't really giant. They were strong, big men, but they weren't giants like they thought they were. In fact, there are descriptions of these giants to be. They were so big that the Bani Israel would look next to them like insects. And that's not true. There is no such a thing. That is an exaggeration that's built in their head because of fear. There is this little story about the elephant who's tied up to a tree. One of his legs is tied up to a tree. And he tries so hard to free himself, but he can't. And he remains like this for many, many, many days and weeks. His food is brought to him near the tree. He tries to pull his leg and he can't free it. After a while, he doesn't bother anymore to do that. He knows that his leg is tied to the tree. There's no point in trying to hurt his leg and try to free it when it's not going to happen. So the owner would take away the rope. And that's how the elephant is trained to stay in one place, because even though he is now free, in his mind, he thinks he's chained to the tree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he presents something to us, when he calls upon us, when there are opportunities opening up for us, someone calls on you and says, hey, you know, can you come and help me? Hey, can you do this particular project with me? Can you take care of this child with me? Can you help me, you know, hold an event? Can you organize with me, you know, the school Hajj day, whatever it is that people around you, you know, are negotiating and working to do, as well as the opportunities beyond that, writing a book or, you know, presenting a topic or leading a group or trying out for a new experience. Think about the rope that's tying you back. Is it really real? Is it there? Or are you imagining it like the Bani Israel? And where does the faith play into it? If we really have faith, why aren't we using it? What's the point of the faith that we have if it's only used for praying and for fasting and, you know, is put in a nice, beautiful vase on a table rather than used in a practical way to help us go, you know, get rid of our handicap in this life to achieve better results? May Allah give us tawfiq to be the best that we can be and to actively seek His pleasure through doing and serving, being His hands on this earth, His eyes and His mouth on this earth, and serving Him in the best of ways. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.